Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center. The text is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. The Reverend Philip Krupski is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The reading appointed for today is from 1 Timothy chapter 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good and is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this meditation is 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 4. I read that a moment ago. And I repeat the last verse where Paul said, God wishes all people to be saved and to come into knowledge of the truth. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear friends. So, why are you alive? If I challenged you today and asked you to write down a purpose statement for your life in one sentence, or at the most two, could you do it? That sounds like a tough task in a way. Because on a daily basis, we have pushes and pulls that tug us in myriad of directions in our life. So how in the world would you boil life down to just one or two sentences? About 25 years ago, a study was conducted in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod about giving attitudes among people who were actually members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod at that time. It was really focusing on what it is that motivates them to give. And those attitudes basically segmented out into three portions. They're not entirely even that one-third, 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 but close enough. The first third indicated that life is about family first for them. So if we think about their giving attitudes reflecting their life purpose statement, their indication is life is about my family. About a one-third slice of all those giving attitudes said that they were what I like to call financial Freddies. Life is about investments, and it's about putting everything in good order and to find security and peace by knowing that I have everything that I need for life. And then one-third of the giving attitudes among God's people in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod fell into a category that might be able to be called, and I don't mean to bring any heavy weight to this, but missional. People gave because they wanted to support the ministry of the church through which God shares Jesus and by which then people are saved. So one-third, one-third, one-third. Family first, financial Freddies, and then those who are focused on the mission of the church. Ever since I heard about that study years ago now, it's been a while, I can't put it out of my head. There's a certain amount of confusion that goes on in my understanding. People raised up by the gospel, and yet a lot of people whose mission, and a mission reflected by the way they handle God's gifts, that really doesn't see the sharing of Jesus as priority one in this life. Well, it reflects the fact that we all get distracted. grandparents say that their whole purpose, their purpose statement for life, is to take their kids fishing or to make crafts with them. People who are still in their careers would say that their purpose is to climb the ladder, to find fulfillment in their work. Those who like sports, their purpose is to recite statistics or to get together with family or friends and recount that amazing touchdown catch or that incredible dunk in basketball. The purpose of our life becomes the next vacation, the next golf outing, the next time out in the woods for the hunter. In short, all of these things become our passions. There was a dear woman in a church that I served who just loved to sew. And she had a bumper sticker on her car that said, "She who dies with the most material wins." You might have seen another iteration of that. For a while, it was showing up all over the place. So we have those purposes to life, and then all of a sudden, life happens, and life is interrupted. A doctor walks into the room and says, "You have cancer." An election passes, and your candidate may not have won. A family argument turns permanent. I lose my job. Pandemic comes. Friends and family are dying. We have been quarantined for months. I'm preaching to an empty room right now. And they're even telling us that it is unsafe to get together for large family gatherings this Thanksgiving. Well, isn't this just a stinky year? So thankful? Maybe my thankfulness is just another casualty of COVID-19, just like I lost my smell and taste when I had it. Still don't have it all back. Maybe COVID has robbed me of my thankfulness. Thankful? Not now, not this year. But could it be that our unhappiness and our disappointments really betray the fact that our purpose statements for life are sort of off track? Could it be that we have really made life to be more about the things that aren't the main point? So consider Paul's words in our text for today from 1 Timothy chapter 2. In the midst of a letter that the Apostle Paul was writing to young Timothy, a pastor, encouraging Timothy to be faithful, encouraging Timothy not to allow trust in good works to replace confidence in God's grace alone for our salvation, Paul says to Timothy, and it sounds appropriate, "I encourage, I exhort you to pray." And to put exclamation points on this encouragement to pray, Paul uses four distinct words to describe prayer. The first one is petitions, things that we ask. The second is prayers, and the word really means to ask or beg. The third is intercessions, really comes out of gathering together in a group, in a gathering of people to gain some kind of resolve and unity of thinking and purpose. So intercessions. And then part of our prayers, as often shows up in Paul's language, is thanksgivings. And then he continues, "And pray for all people." Okay. And then he says, "For kings and all those in authority." And ooh, this is where it starts getting a little difficult for me. Because if I have to pray for every single person, and that includes kings and authorities, then there could be people on that list that I don't really care for all that much. Then he zeroes in a little bit more and says, with a purpose clause, that we may lead peaceful and quiet lives. Okay, I'm starting to get back on track with what Paul's thinking about. I would like a peaceful and quiet life. Doesn't that mean then that I can get back to my hobby or whatever it is that I like to do? Nobody's going to bother me? And then Paul says, in all godliness and dignity. So to lead peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and dignity. The word godliness there really means good worship. To live peaceful and quiet lives that in every moment are worship to God and are accompanied by our conduct of dignity. So I am praying and thanking God for the opportunity to live out my life in a way that worships God. And then Paul's final point, and this is the main point. This is good and pleasing before our Savior, who wishes all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And there it is. We have finally gotten there. The purpose of my life and yours, the reason this whole wide world exists and was created, was not just so that we can have good families, great hobbies, or great careers. The purpose of this grand stage on which we are living is that by God's grace, He may connect people to His Son, Jesus Christ, through word with water and baptism, and save people. That's why this world exists, and that's why we are living on this world. For there is one God and one mediator between God and people, and that one is Jesus, and only He can save us. So in this year of COVID, or in other years that have equally difficult moments, has that purpose been stolen from our lives? Of course not. Each day is a wonderful opportunity, in the good times or the bad, to always be ready, as Peter says in his letter, to give a defense for the hope that lives in you. So getting back to this whole Thanksgiving thing, do you have any reason for which to give thanks? Even if you are just heating up a turkey TV dinner with processed turkey and instant mashed potatoes and some tough peas and carrots that are in the corner of that tray, you have not been robbed of your life in Jesus, nor of your ability to share Jesus. For God uses every year in our lives to show us Jesus and to give us forgiveness and life and salvation. God has given us also cell phones, text messages, FaceTime, and Zoom, with which we can connect with people all over the world if need be. And every time we connect with someone, we can make it our aim, our determination, to make sure that we say something about the grace of God that is in Jesus. And just in case all of that newfangled technology is not your deal, then go old school and use snail mail and write somebody a note. Write them a card. Make sure this Christmas, that our Christmas cards are not full of brag letters, but are full of testimonies of our faith, where we share with the world that we have survived because of the grace of God. Have you ever wondered how long this world's going to last? How long the universe will be here? In any calamity year like this one we're living out right now, people are all trying to figure out whether these are the signs that point to the end. It's really much simpler than that. Because God has one purpose, that He desires all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, God in his eternal, infinite wisdom, his foreknowledge of all things, knows exactly when the last person who will be saved has been saved. And then at that moment, the purpose for this sin-torn, cursed world that we live in, along with things like COVID, will disappear. So it might be, as a family gathers around the font, and those words, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit," happen, or two friends are sitting drinking coffee, and the one friend is sharing a verse from God's word to the other, reaching to them with the message of the gospel for the first time in their lives. When that person believes, then the end will come, and not before. Until then, we keep praying, and we keep on giving thanks. We give thanks to God not just for turkey and stuffing on a table once a year, or not just for people that are gathered around that table, but we give thanks to God for his purpose, his saving purpose, that is integrated into every breath of our lives. We carry that purpose with us through our lives, and we thank God that we have been included in that purpose. So, yes, in the words of that psalm, let us give thanks unto the Lord our God, for his grace endures forever. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, may it guard and keep our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for Rachel Meyer, who serves the Lord in Uganda. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.